We're joined by Jamie again this evening. It's Friday evening. Practice qualifying now, as it's called now, is done. Also joining is Kevin, his dad. So perhaps summarise the week for you, Jamie. Happy enough?
Yeah, definitely happy. Didn't struggle to start off with, but I think it's getting your head up to speed, really, is one of the hard things around here.
Is it more of a challenge than... short circuit, I assume? Obviously it is, but in that sense of getting up to speed.
Yeah, definitely going from the concentration side of things. You have to be on the ball everywhere. Like, you can't let your mind rest at all. So you're always telling yourself to keep focused, and you're thinking about the next thing, like, before you get to it. And yeah.
And so Kevin, you've kindly lent Son the bike.
Much choice on that.
So to start, you've obviously got a racing background yourself. What's it like having your son racing here?
Oh, it's something you can't really describe. The feeling initially, as the week goes on, it gets easier. It shouldn't do, I guess, but it does. You look at the sector times and you see how smooth and on point he is each time. This last couple of nights it's been sort of within the same second and points of a second in the same sectors, so you realise he's got his comfort zone, he's sorted himself out, and he obviously knows where he's going now. It's just a case of there's absolutely no pressure whatsoever in any way, and that's the beauty of having your own team, basically, because you go to any of them bigger teams and you pay your way in, as you do, and nine times out of ten you get robbed because you're paying for the number one guy for his riding. Or as it is now, you know, Jamie's brought in some personal sponsors, which has helped him out greatly through the TT. And you can steer your own ship. Exact same with Nathan Harrison. You know, it's a way forward. There's no pressure on the lad himself, and that goes a long way, I think, in letting them settle their mind. Nobody hanging over their shoulder. You know, you need to pick your speed up and all the rest. That's, from a family point of view, you're saying the opposite, basically, but, you know, it's... that's how it is.
What that first time you talked about doing I guess it was the Manx as well, potentially, at the time. What was your feeling? No,
we're last to find out. I didn't even know he had an entry. To be honest with you, he never told us he had an entry with the super twin, which obviously hasn't happened. But yeah, it's him. It's his deal. It's his life. He does what he wants to do. He's old enough to know. He's sensible enough now. But we support him. Best we can anyway, really.
Yeah, okay, cool. So I think the quickest lap, Jamie, for the week, and I appreciate, again, it's not, we talk about lap times, it's not about that, although there's obviously a consistency to improve. I think 1:15.9. I think when we first spoke before the TT, and I wasn't that keen to delve into what target you'd set in your own head, but I think you put on social media in the last couple of days that 1:15 was that target, so obviously pleased.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't want to set one too high or too small either. I think it's a good balance in what I wanted to come here and do. And then I did three laps last night, and I did it on each lap. I did a 15 every lap. Just consistent. We did tonight a 14.5, which was the fastest, but it was damp from Ginger Hall all the way up through to... up basically onto the mountain, but even across the mountain it was all damp as well. And
do you see those damp patches?
Not until you're at them, basically. You're extra wary where you need to be under the trees, just because you know it's not going to dry, is it? So but you don't see them until you're basically on top of them, because you're going that fast. Yeah. And you can't, the worst thing you can do is jump on the brakes, because you're going to crash otherwise.
I presume, do they have the flags out, damp flags out, or is it just the warning at the start before you head out?
Yeah, there's damp flags out around the course. There wasn't everywhere where it was damp, but yeah.
Do you reset your goals now? I know you've got a little bit of, I suppose, warm-up laps, and you've obviously got a couple of races coming up now. You resetting that goal in your head? Or is it, again, just the, ultimately the races are right, getting eight more laps under the belt?
Yeah, no, not really. I'm quite happy, to be honest, to do the 1:15. I've just looked up my sector times from tonight. I've gone a little bit faster in a couple of sectors, so if I was to combine the sectors from last night, where obviously it wasn't damp and the later of the laps, it'll be like I am in the 1:16s now, mm-hmm. but obviously it's not been strung together in a lap.
Yeah.
So
if we go back to, I think when you came in after maybe on the Monday session, I think your dad might have been speaking to Hodson, I think it was, and he talked about following you, and you were kind of, what would the right description, maybe heavy into the corners?
Yeah, he was just saying he was... Not flowing. He was just trying to ride like a short circuit rather than a road circuit, and... You know, he's got many years' experience, and he was just sort of like comforting us, saying that his lines are great, everything's going great. He was just chasing a little bit too late on the brakes going into the corners, and then his exit speeds weren't as good as they could be, and then that just affects you in the next section. So it's all about flowing, I guess. You know, I've not rode TT course, that's for sure, but anybody you speak to, the fast laps are always the ones where they think they're going slow. But he was just saying that he thought he was chasing it a little bit hard, and maybe if he kept it 3 foot lower off Blaff Bridge, he might be better.
And do you find more flowing? Do you find in more of that? I guess you would be, but...
Yeah, I definitely find a lot more flowing. I'm not nowhere near like the hedges still at the minute, but I'm edging my way in closer each time, and still got plenty of room, but I'm like more committed because I know how fast I can go the previous lap and how much room I had and the exit. So,
one of the things that came up, and somebody asked me following our chat, you're talking about these safety markers in your, which are for each bend and corner, gink, etc. This is the kind of my safe zone.
Yeah,
are those set by you on the outset? Are they set just from chatting with other riders? Are they set with the rider liaison officer there saying these should be your brake zones or your starting to brake zones?
Yeah, they're set by, well, other riders. So I've been round with people obviously that have been round here and have been good speeds, but they're like, I brake, say for instance, they're braking here, but obviously don't brake here because you're only a newcomer and there's a lot to learn. So I know to take a step back basically, and then I can edge to that when I want to.
Yeah, right. So you've done, well, we think 20 or 21 laps in the week. How's the body?
The body is actually really good, apart from my groin, both sides. Like, they're just in bits. That's why I was going to go for another lap tonight, but I just thought I've got another lap tomorrow morning. I can do a warm-up lap before the race, even though I'm not out tomorrow. I'll just do that and just let the body rest a bit.
Not that we want to talk about your groin too much, but is that against the tank? Is that just sat on the seat? It's a bit of everything.
It's a bit of everything. Obviously standing on the pegs, but even when you're in the fast corners, you're putting your leg out for a weight to help the bike turn. And when you're coming into after a fast section and you're hard on the brakes, you put your leg out to, it's like a, they call it like a human parachute to slow you down faster, basically, and help you get stopped.
So I just want to chat a bit about gearing. I was chatting to Andy, trying to educate myself on the gearing side of things. So from what I understand, generally the first part of the week was just about getting comfortable on the bike. But there's that point where now you get into those speeds where it's the gearing becomes an important thing. They talked about changing it last night. Did it get changed tonight?
We changed it for last night, which was better. So we carried that on tonight. I will leave it as it is now, and then we'll do Monday race, and then if I up my speed and start needing an extra gear and it's starting to rev out earlier and I need more, we'll change it for Wednesday.
So Kevin, can you talk a bit about that gearing then and how that is that, obviously, I assume it doesn't give more power, but I assume at certain times, at certain speeds, it changes.
Yeah, it'll give you the feeling of more power, because if you get the gearing a bit lower, it'll drive harder out of the bends. You go up with the gear, and obviously it'll carry a bigger top speed, only if the bike will pull it to there. So, you know, depending on Jamie's speed onto straights, there's exit speeds out of corners, if the wind's strong. There's so many factors that go along with it. Ryan is on the data from the computer, and you can see where it's revving to in its gears. I mean, last night I think we looked and we're probably a good 400 revs short of topping out on revs down Sulby Strait and places like that. But if you now, Jamie's speeds are just graduating up a bit. I'm sure he's going to come to the point probably by the Wednesday that, yeah, he may need to take a tooth off the back or something too, which is generally about 500 revs ish, and that sort of thing that will make difference to it. But
what will that difference be, that acceleration at the corners or the top end?
Yeah, if you make the gearing a bit taller, but the reason they need to do that is because he's flowing more anyway, so it's much of a much really, but it'll drive off a very slow corner like Ramsey hairpin. If you're up the gearing a bit further, it'll be a little bit, maybe you need to clutch error there or something like that to get it going and get it up into the rev range, because the Honda's quite a revvy little bike, and not like his Triumph that he's been racing for the last few seasons. It's you need to rev it a little bit in comparison. So, but TT course, that was the main reason we chose the Honda TT. It's such a reliable little bike that just steers and goes where you want it to go. Suspension superb on it, you know, so it was the weapon of choice really for TT course compared to the Triumph. The fairings are a bit wider, and like Jamie just mentioned about his groin, every time you put your leg out going into a 140 mile an hour corner or something, the wind against that is going to be obviously very strong against you. I had a conversation over fairings and stuff with Gary Johnson 2 seasons ago, and that was the biggest problem with the Triumph, is when it was popping out of the bubble, it was making it unstable because of the size of his body in the air. It was making the bike head shake and all that sort of thing. But yeah, the gearing does make a difference, and you've got to get it right. And race conditions will be different, because he's most likely to be around people off a similar speed in the race, and you might get a toe down a straight or something like that. So it does change the dynamics of it all a little bit. Because of that, there's a chance of being pulled on, you know, with somebody who's just that slight bit quicker, it's come past you or whatever, and learning off people rather than the likes of Michael Dunlop and the likes going ahead and past you like at another 30, 40 mile an hour faster, you've got no chance, and you don't really want to even try and emulate what they're doing at this stage of the game. So,
have you had an opportunity to follow a few here and there and pick up bits of?
Yeah, I've followed a few people, but to be honest, not many. Obviously, some of the top boys, as soon as they come by, they're gone straight away. And then tonight, I caught a few twins, but it was because the 600 was quite a bit quicker. I just went straight past it, and that was that. So I didn't really get to see what they were doing.
I assume on a twin lines might be slightly different, just basis, because they might be going through corners maybe quicker because they're not as quick bike, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so it'd be hard to like replicate as well. Yeah. Won't be far away, but
On one of the, again, on part one or part two, you talked about one of the first things you were just, not struggling with, but was an apex, I think, at the Black Dub. I think it was maybe a double apex that you were just struggling to find the right part of the apex. Just from the look on you now, you hardly remember the conversation, but I suspect you comfortable around that I think is almost like two left-handers, isn't it, at the Black Dub. This is
is that the end of the mile?
No, it's a Laurel Bank.
Laurel
Bank, and then you come through the right-hander at Laurel, and then it kind of
kinks
two lefts.
I'm better, but I'm still like, there's still a lot more there to get it right, to master it basically.
So on that note of struggling to remember where it was, flying through that, I just wanted to talk through a sector with you quickly, just for that, maybe that experience. And probably the best one to pick is, well, I think, is Ginger Hall through to Ramsey, because it's very rough. It's quite dark, obviously, tonight, certainly damp patches. So maybe we just quickly walk through it. So you go down a left-hander at Ginger Hall. There is kind of a right-hander over the crest of that hill, I assume.
Yeah, so you come round the left,
wheel
it's
up
like a double left.
Right.
And then as soon as you're starting to go try go over the right, when you're going over the top of the hill, the bike goes really light over there. So you're on the pegs steering the bike basically. And then,
because I assume the bike's wanting to go left, but the next corner's a left-hander, so you're trying to bring it back right.
Yeah, so you're trying to bring it back right and bring it over, say, to the hedge on the right to make less of a corner for the left, because breaking into there is like really bumpy. Then there's a massive bump at the left basically, so
okay. And then you're coming out of there, it's kind of a couple of right-handers.
Yeah, there's a double right, and then you flick over to the left, and then
you're right on the curb line there where you're flicking over.
Yeah, so you're on you're right next to the curb, but you have to be basically straight because there's another jump there. So as soon as I'm flicking over to the left, I'm basically on the pegs, just standing steering with my legs, and you're still driving hard, and you jump off it. You're like, you wheel it. Well, what I'm doing is I'm like wheeling over, and it's jumping, just, and then there's not two wheels on the ground, so then it starts grabbing, and then as you come out of there, it's like a big long right, and there's you're halfway drifting down there.
Yeah, you're drifting across the back towards the right of the road at that
stage.
Yeah,
and then you just I'm roughly just off the, well, I'm just on the right of the white line in the middle, carry that through, and then where the curb is just before Glendulph on the left, where you go over the crest of the hill, you're still flat out there, but there's like a, it's like basically motocross, there's like a double before you come over the crest of the hill, so the bike jumps twice, and then you're over the crest, and then you can see the curb as well, like all in one. And then you're flat out through the left, you're flat to the right, and then you go past the DOI yard on the right. You're just staying, you're all over the road there basically, because you're back and forward across it. And then after the thing, you go over the crest on the left, but before I actually come here, such a crest, you can't see the curb on the inside, and like watching the onboards from before I came here, I actually battered my own head over it because I just didn't feel comfortable about it, and that's one of
my, of course, the next pace is the next corner's a right, isn't it? So assume again you want to be as far over towards that curb to take the next right.
Yeah, so it's like a double left, then it's like a long right, so it's quite difficult, to be fair, that bit of section, like without taking the bumps into consideration.
And trees.
Yeah.
And the walls and stuff.
Yeah.
So then you're around Glentraman's, kind of, I presume, quite a nice sweeping left-hander.
Yeah, that's quite a nice corner there. It's a lot faster than you think, and I've still got a bit of time there to be made as well, and I'm still cautious there.
And so a plow on, it's kind of a right, and then in the Conker Fields, obviously a very popular place to watch as well. How do you find that? I presume that it goes light by the tree there. You're keeping an eye on the curb there. Presume that is that the reason the K's on the tree, to remind you of the curbs there?
Yeah, so the K's on the tree to remind you that how much the curbs stick out, and that's where it is. But just before that, before the tree, you come back a little bit where you're exiting out of the right. You want to be next to the hedge on the right, and you go over to the curb again, then you're basically over to the right again, and then the curb, the K tree as they call it, is where the curb is. And then as soon as you can, you're still driving, but I'm still driving at the minute, but the other boys will be flat out through there, like straight through.
Right, because they're carrying speed from the previous.
Yeah, okay.
And then sort of sweeping right, left into bottom of Sky Hill. I don't know, it's got a different name.
Yeah.
I've seen some footage there, and you do look very smooth through there. I presume that's, I don't know, but it kind of seems short circuity types of sweeping bends. I don't know if that's the case, but that's what
it is. There's a couple of real bad bumps on the left at where the bottom of Sky Hill is. So you just got to be cautious of that. And then, you're driving into the next right, and then it's quite tight, like it's fast, but it's tighter than you probably
is that think. Where that white house is on your left.
Yeah. And then you're next to the curb on the left coming out and into Milltown.
So over that little bridge, light, and you're immediately flicking it right as well.
Yeah, I like that bit of the track because it's quite a big jump, to be fair, even on a 600. So you jump, and by the time you landed, you're already starting to lean to get the bike to turn for the right.
Yeah.
And the right's, as soon as you landed, you flat out through it, basically.
Right, and then flat out along the straight. And then that left-hander by the school, is that a flat-out bend, or would it be eventually?
No.
So this is up.
No. At the minute, I'm where the primary school on the left, the second gate, say down that side on the left, that's where I break there, and I think I come back two, right. And then I drive up. Once I'm in, I drive hard out of there, and then back to fourth, I think, and then back to first, right. Parliament Square.
And the reason I ask, I appreciate that's a long segment, but I don't know, Kevin, you've obviously raced, but I just find that detail, bear in mind you've been doing 21 laps as well.
Yeah.
It's amazing, to have that amount of detail, to know that.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you listen to riders talk on the radio about that detail, obviously the guys that have been here for years and years, but to know that road that intimately.
There's a lot of homework on it, and that was my fear, that he hadn't done enough beforehand, but he obviously did it secretly, and he never says anything about it much, to be fair, as you know, but he's obviously had, we went for a lap of a mate, James Powell, when he was over, who runs No Limits race stuff, and James himself was knowledgeable and asking Jamie questions, and it was quite comforting how well he did know at that stage, but obviously not being on a bike at that stage, but he knew the targets to look for, like chimney pots in this place and this, that and the other, and where you go. And that's just testament to Milky and Johnny Barton and all the guys that have taken him out round and shown him Mikey Evans and who else did you go around with?
Nathan Harrison as well.
Yeah, all good lads. But I mean, probably the likes of going around with John McGuinness and people like that would just be not usable information. In some, you know, some would be great, but he's not carrying that speed. Mm. So it's, you know, it's a different sort of ball game, really, I suppose. And
it's interesting.
He has learnt pretty rapidly, I think. And like I said before, just repeating myself, I suppose, but he's obviously in a comfort zone now because of the sector times being like within tenths of each other, not like 10 seconds apart from each other. So
it's good.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's very good and comforting.
So one of the early chats again, you talked about where you think you might like, and you felt the mountain might be the case because of the flow and nature and the, I guess, replicate short circuit. Is that true a week on now, 21 laps in?
Yeah, definitely. I like the mountain. It's nice, open, and you can see a lot. You can see a lot of things that are coming at you where you can't see down, you can't see curbs in a lot of places because there's so many crests and stuff like that. So you can see what's ahead of you. I'd say the mountains.
You're conscious of, like I always think when I'm up there, there's always the drainage runoffs. Certainly on the right hand side of the mountain. Is that something?
Not really.
No, no.
Just get through as fast as you can, really.
During this week, obviously outside of doing the laps on the bike, have you been around in the car, anything like that?
No. I haven't been around at all, to be honest, which is probably something I should have, but I've been watching onboards to see where I need to improve.
So interesting watching those onboards now to watching them pre-TT, do you feel there's more to take out of them going, I'm totally not on this line compared to, I appreciate again, it might be a Cameron Donald one you mentioned about looking at and doing different speeds, but I assume ultimately the lines are going to be or should be similar.
Yeah, you're still trying to replicate what he's doing basically in a safe way. And looking at where his position is on the track, just to try and sort of nail it for yourselves, and obviously you can get through there faster next time.
So another question, again, I was bugging the guys when I was up there, was tear offs. So is there much flies around?
Yeah, there's quite a lot, to be fair, yeah.
And, again, a really stupid question, but maybe for people that don't follow TT so much, certainly when I see one line around there, they seem pretty slippy, but you tear one off and just sling it in the road. I assume that's pretty common practice.
Just leave it in the road. I guess the marshals, once you see it, I think they will go and...
Do you have a place where you take them off, particularly where you feel comfortable, or is it just, I got flies, I need to get rid of them?
Yeah, either I've been doing them coming out of Ramsey hairpin or the gooseneck, and then I did one yesterday. I can't even. I think it might have been the mountain mile.
Oh really?
It was, yeah.
Because you're going steady up there. Makes sense. Yeah. Loads of time.
Yeah. Wouldn't be at the end of Cronk of Oddy anyway.
So talking about Monday's the first race. So fueling. after two laps. That's obviously something you can't replicate practice-wise here. So how, and do you get a chance to practice with the one with the limiter, because you're only allowed a certain speed down there, and then the fuel aspect, is that just, because I assume obviously that doesn't happen on short circuits refueling, so it's a total new experience for the team as well as yourself.
Yeah, we've been going out of pit lane after the sessions live, and all the bikes set off to start off with.
You've got to be on the limiter, have you?
Yeah, you've got to be. You've got to stick to the speed limiter, the speed restriction they give you. So you're on the pit limiter anyway for that. So that's basically that's been. Well, you can say you've been practicing. But come the fuel. None of that's been practiced, and it's all basically drop thread. So once they, I don't even know who's doing the fuel at the minute. I think it might be Jake maybe, but it, because it's not pump, once you let go of the trigger, there's still stum in it. So once the bike's full, you need to bear in mind that it's thing, but you need your bike full still to make round the thing,
and you obviously don't want to be spilling fuel over the top of it.
We're quite tight as it is now, so it needs to be brimmed as well. So there's a fine line of,
but you just don't get practice of that. It's just have a go on the day.
No, I don't. Do you get practice?
No, you won't. No, I mean, we've
not your problem, but
that is problem. We've done it many times over the years with Paul Hunt and alike. And what you do is when you first get there, you prime, you fill your tank up, you prime it down through, we get a jug and drop 5 litres out from it to make sure there's no air in the hose, extend the hose out through so there's no loop in it so it doesn't get any air trapped in it. Then we'll put that back into the container and then drop 5 litres into a jug again and time it this time and make sure it's of a reasonable time, because in the past we found at least 2 seconds for 5 litres. So you're putting in on the super bike, you were putting like 24 litres in. So, you know, you're not long and losing 10 seconds in the pits because your fuel filler was slow. So we always used to check that and then just always tell them that our one was slow and then get a new one and try it. And if that was worse, then get the other one back. But we're not going to be in that situation this time round with Jamie. It's not all about
it's speed.
It's not about his fuel stop. It's about consistent laps, and obviously he's not chasing. The Grand Prix might have been a different story. You'd be sort of like a bit of pressure on you, but this time round it's just take it easy, change his visor or his helmet, whichever he's going to do, and make sure that it's absolutely brimmed and not to dash off with like a litre left needing to go in there and get to the Cronk the Mona on the last lap and pushing it back sort of thing. So it's more important just to get a finish and be calm. It's all about being calm in the pits really, if you can be. Different story this time around when it's your son, but it'll be fine. You know, everybody has been in there before. It's not anything new to people so around them, so it's it'll be fine, absolutely fine.
And obviously you get given a slot in that pit lane. Just about you remembering where that is. There's a stop box, foot down, and then look out for the boys down there.
Yeah.
Trying to mow them down when you come in.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So just one last quick question from me. Do you feel like it's been a long week?
No, not really. I think it's gone by quite fast because we've been out every day, because obviously today was the first day it rained. There's meant to be an afternoon session, but obviously it chucked down this afternoon. So every day you've been doing something throughout the day, then come night time you're on your bike, so it's flew by, I reckon.
I'm sure. Good luck on Monday.
Thank you very much.
It'll be grand, and hopefully catch up after you finish the racing and talk about the whole experience. Thanks for joining as well, Kevin, and the insight. Appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Screw you guys, I'm going